The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAD or at thehalachacenter.org. The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Zachim, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Mishnah says, Chametz Shenapol of Mapolas, Chametz upon which has descended a pile of rubble. Harei Mavur, it's considered Mavur, destroyed, and it is permitted to retain it on Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol She'ena Kelev Yachal HaPesach HaRav, there's a condition, the rubble has to be substantial enough, significant enough, that a dog cannot root at it and extract it. Amar Rav Chista, B'tzar Shivatel Belibo, in addition to the fact that it's Kamavur, you do need Bitzel Belev, you have to nullify the Chametz. Tana, How deep does it have to be? How much rubble does there have to be so a dog can't get it? Shlosha tfachim. It has to be rubble of a depth of 3 tfachim. Amle Rav Acha Breid Rav Yosef Le Rav Ashi. Here the share is 3 tfachim. But elsewhere, in Bava Metzia, Hadam Rav Shmuel, Ksafim Ein Lehem Shmira Ela Bekarka, someone to whose care has been entrusted, Ksafim, cash, coins. The halacha is that the only acceptable form of care of watching them is to bury them underground. Mi b'inan shlosh tfachim, does it have to be buried to a depth of 3 tfachim as here with regard to chametz on Pesach? Oh, lo, or is there a different rule? Amar lo, yes, the rule indeed is different. Hacham yishim recha. Here we're worried that the dog can smell the chametz. So b'inan shlosh tfachim, we need a depth of 3 tfachim to cover it. Hacham yishim echzu yimeina. Simply have to hide it from view so miscreants can't find it and steal it. Below by shlosha. And you don't need a depth of 3 tfachim. Kama, how much do you need? Amara from Bar Papa Misichra Tefach. In Hilchos Shamrim and Chashan Mishpat, all you need is a depth of 1 Tefach. This same sugya appears in Bav Metzia, in Perek HaMafkid, Daf Mem Beis. The Mishnah there says, HaMafkid Mos Etel Chavero, someone entrusts coins to another. So if he's Tzaron V'Hepshilon La'acharav, if he ties them and hangs them over his back, like on a backpack or something, or if he gives them over to the care of his minor children, and he locks them up improperly, because this constitutes a failure to guard the valuables in the custom of Shomrim. But if he has guarded them as Shomrim do, then he is Potter. The Mishnah says, if he locks them up improperly, he's chayev. The implication is that if he locks them up properly, he's potter. There is actually a machlokas rishonim whether noal b'fneihem means he locks up the minor children, he keeps the children safe, or noal b'fneihem of the ksafim. Who is b'fneihem, the pronoun b'fneihem of them referring to? If it means ksafim, then the rishonim are going to be medayik, that apparently you don't always have to bury ksafim. Sometimes locking them up securely is enough. If you learn Nal B'fneihem means Iktanim, that's a different story. A point to which we shall return later. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara brings the Memra of Shmuel, the Ksafim Ein Lehem Shmira El Bekarka, and unlike in Maseches Pesachim for Chametz, where the share is 3 Tefachim, the share is 1 Tefach. Then the Gemara goes on and says that this halacha actually changes. It's not the rule of 1 Tefach under the Karka is not always constant. Ha'idna d'shchichi gishushoi. Today, where we have Gishushai, a kind of criminal, Rashi explains, Megashish and Bakarka, they tap or they fail around on the ground, Bishpudin Shal Barzel with metal rods, Lahakir Makum Shetachtav Chalal, to discern, to divine a hollow, and they realize the stuff buried there. It's not safe to do the burial of 1 Tefach under the Karka. Ein Lem Shmir Elabish Mekar, you have to put it in the, Rashi says, Begagni Tachtav, in the ceiling. Ho'inna Deshchichi Prumai, another kind of miscreant, Rashi says, Shavre Atikra, they break apart ceilings looking for valuables. Ein lem shmira ela b'nei urvi. The only valid shmira is, Rashi says, bein shurut habinyan b'kosel, inside the layers of the wall, the rows of rocks that make up the wall. Amarava madishmul b'kosel, inam ben akronos. Ha'inna d'shchichi tzvuchai, yet a third kind of miscreant called tzvuchai, Rashi says, metapchim b'kosel, they wrap on the walls, leidam yeshem chalal, similar to the gishushai, the gishushai wrap on the ground, the tzvuchai wrap on the walls. Ein lem shmira ela b'tefach samach lakara. The only valid shmira is the lowest tefach of the wall, closest to the ground, of the tefach asamos l'shmei karka. either Samach Lakaka or Tevach Samach Lishmeikara. Rashi says Kulam Bekasel, only those places in the walls were safe. Don't know why exactly the Tuchai couldn't find treasure in those areas, but either they didn't look there, or they were unsuccessful in discerning treasure there, or that's simply the best place possible. Whatever it is, these are the different rules that apply. Shmuel's baseline din of Eksaf Melam Shmeral Bekaka varies in the presence of these various forms of thieves. So, the question is, do we paskin like these memories of Shmuel and the other solutions the Gemara gives in the event of Gishushai, Tzvuchai, and Pramai? Actually, before we go to that, just one brief machlokas, interesting machlokas on the din of the Gemara. As we've seen, in Tzachim, for Chametz, you need 3 Tzachim, and Chashim Mishpat, for Shmirav, Kesef, you only need 1. The Levush understood, not only do you only need 1, you should dafka only do 1, you should not bury it more than 1 tefach in the ground. The Levush says, lo yikbrim amak bakarka, burying it deeper is actually less secure. Mishum sheyesh ramayim, shmagashin bakarka, makirin yesh chol tachtav. The Gishushai that the Gemara mentions, even if you bury it underground, they can still be successful if it's too deep. So it's better to put it more shallowly. Lo yitin alayim, ela ovi tefach ofra, shenichal nikersham. It's safer in the event of Gishushai to put it closer to the ground. So when the Gemara says one tefach is ideal. One tefach is dafka. The Sma says no. One tefach means you don't need more than one tefach. Lo itrichu b'kach. Chazal didn't obligate you to go any further. But certainly if you put it under the karka, yosim tefach adiv tfei. That certainly sounds reasonable. I don't know what techniques the Gishushai used, but it certainly seems that the deeper it is, the harder it should be to discern. Lo kir shushan, he says. The kashuli, the Gemara's mashmana like that, he says. He brings the Gemara from Psachim and Bab Metzia. The Gemara wanted to know if you need 3 tefachim, you don't need 3 tefachim, but the Gemara clearly understood that 3 tefachim would be better, just so you don't need it. And Chaim Muchas from the Rishonim, he says, so he rejects the idea of the Levush. So now, the question is, do we paskin like these memras of Shmuel and the related memras in Bav Metzia? I think it's safe to say that most people today, to whom cash or coins or other types of valuables, jewels, are entrusted, don't dream of going out to their backyard, digging a hole like playing pirates or Treasure Island and burying the money under the ground. We obviously don't do that. So why not? So the truth is, this question was already addressed by the Rishonim. The Rishonim fall into 2 groups. There are several Rishonim who bring these memories of Shmuel and the related memories and don't seem to comment and seem to indicate that these are halacha lemaisa. There are a number of other Rishonim who specifically say, for a number of different reasons, that the rules of the Gemara no longer apply. So the Rosh HaMedabrim, the most significant of the Rishonim who seem to accept the rules of the Gemara at face value, is the Rambam. The Rambam generalizes from the Gemara's rules as is his wont, particularly in Chosh and Mishpat. He explains, he sets forth the general guidelines for Shomrim. Keta Derech HaShomrim. How are Shomrim supposed to watch? Hakol Lefi HaPikadon. It depends what you're watching. Yesh Pikadon Shederech Shmiras V'Onicha B'Beit Shar K'Nakaras Avonim. Large, heavy, not very valuable things like construction materials, beams, and stones. You leave them in a pretty open area, Beis Shar, not even inside your house, just in the guardhouse, the outbuildings. Yesh Pikadon Shederech Shmiras V'Onicha B'Chatzer. Some things which are perhaps more valuable, you place inside your chatzer, chavilot pishton, agadolos, large bales of flax. Yesh Pikadon Shederech Shmiras V'Onicha B'Bayis. Some which are smaller, I guess, and more valuable, you keep them inside your house. Again, symbol of a talus, more fragile perhaps, clothing, garments, textiles. The yesh pikadon, some types of pikdonos, which are small and valuable, shederach shmirat alanicha b'teva v'migdol, a box, a chest, we might call it a safe, v'noel alav, again, big day meshi, these are finer, more valuable fabric, silk, uklei chesef, uklei zav, gold and silver utensils, uchayotzi behen. Now he brings the rule of the Gemara. Haksafim v'hadinarim, ein lam shmir el b'karka, he brings Shmuel's din, and you need a tefach offer, yitin alayim tefach offer. Oh, he brings the other aces, yisman b'kosel, the wall, but tefach samach lakara, lo b'emtza kosel, because of the ganavim. And then he explains that kesef in particular, afilu nal alayim karoi b'teva, even if he puts the kesef into a safe and locks it properly, o hechbiyotim lakum shenadim akirov, lo margishbo, you can do other kinds of shmira that you think are good, doesn't work, reza b'shev, achayev l'shalim, because the Gemara says, kesefim ein lam shmira el b'karka. The Rambam seems to think this is a permanent rule that applied in his day too. Horu miksatim evinim. Some of those who understand things have rules. Interesting language of the Rambam. Shuadin l'chol davar shmasau kal. This rule of kesef, again, can be generalized to any item which is A, lightweight, and will not deteriorate, will not be corroded or any other kind of damage by placing it in the karka. Bullion, basically, just raw pieces of silver. Raw pieces of gold, which are even more valuable. Vavadim tovos, precious stones. All these things, Mavinim said, ein lasmir el bekarka. They all fall under Shmuel's rule. The Rambam agrees to these Mevinim. So the Rambam is the main one, the later posting quote, who seems to assume that the rule of Shmuel applies, Bezman HaZeh even applies, Mevinim said even applies to other types of valuables that are similar to coins. And the posting brings Ar Zeruah and the Smag, also pretty much bring down the rules of the Gemara without giving any indication that the Halacha might be different, Bezman HaZeh. The main opponent of this, the main proponent of the view that these halachas do not apply, many we shown and bring, either in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaBarceloni, Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona, or other we shown and bring it in the name of Rav Yitzchak of Ruvain al Bargeloni, which apparently Bargeloni is simply another spelling of Barcelona. So it was either Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona or Rav Yitzchak of Barcelona. These were 11th or 12th century major poskim, who the later poskim took their words as authoritative. Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona may have been a student of Rabbi Yitzchak of Barcelona. It's not entirely clear. We don't have such good records of back at that time. But in any event, whether he was or wasn't a student, the Balei Tosfos, the Rush, the Tur, cite this ruling in the name of Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona. Some of the Spanish Rishonim, the Ramban of the Ran, cite it in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak of Barcelona. Kibalnu Merabaseinu, we have received from our masters, the early Rishonim, or the Gaonim, the Chronicle of Racha, Vade halach k'Shmuel. There's no question Shmuel's memra in principle is normative. No one disputes it in the Gemara. Aval amru, but the early rabbis have said, Shlo amra Shmuel el b'makum sh'ganavim metuyim sham. This was only true where ganavim, like all the rogue parade of the Gemara, the Geshushai, Tzuchai, Prumai, Anashim Ramayim, Kamen of various sorts, those in Kalelu Hanyanim, they do all that rapping, tapping, banging, prodding, divining for hallows. Those people, those were the ones who Shmira Bekarka is required when they were afoot. Malcolm Deleker Kalhani, when those types of people are not around, Ein Lab L'Chatosim Bekarka, there's no need to bury. Manicha the Malcolm Shemaniach Et Ma'osav, Lo Adif Mididei. Person simply keeps it wherever he keeps his own money, and he doesn't have to be more machmer on his own money than on anyone else's. Valinian Den, Nogu Kadmanim the Fernal of Racha. He testifies that the Kadmanim, the early ones, practiced this halacha l'maisa. And the Ramban and the Rush both accept this ruling. Ramban says, Kivin Shekabalahi, since he himself said this, he had a Kabbalah Merbaseinu, and the Kabbalah will also accept it, Besever Panami Yafis. Shadvarim Nirakain, it seems plausible, it seems probable, Shadarkan Ayalatma Shalem Mashu Mukhtim Eutza. They indeed used to bury things underground, and that's why the Shomer is required to do so. We don't do that, and that's why we don't have to do that. He goes on, he brings numerous riots to this, from the Rift, from the early Poskim, and then he adds, Mizen Niglali Pirish Mishnaseinu. And with this idea, we can understand the pattern of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, as we mentioned earlier, Noal Bifneim Shaloka Roy, which he says means Bifneak Ksafim, you locked up the Ksafim improperly, Yechayib, Shmamino, from which we can infer Noal Karoy, if you locked them up properly, for example, Ashita Tevu Migdal, in a secure place, that would be fine. And you don't need Karka. Why not? Because in Pinu Lamezin, the Mishnah Seinu, we see from this, if we assume that's the pattern of the Mishnah, that a safe, a properly locked vault or chest is sufficient. For Ksafim, Shiesham Shmir below Karka. You don't need Karka. Aye, Shmuel said you do need Karka. Tarot is, Shmuel's din was not said in all places and all times. It was a din that was fixed in a specific spatial and temporal context, and the Mishnah's time, and perhaps our time, that no longer applies. The Ran follows the Ramban on this, the Kedusha Ran, Muki Yosef says the same thing. The Rush also follows a very similar pattern. He cites Abuja of Barcelona, emphasizes that he had a Kabbalah from this, and he says, a Kabbalah of this, and he mentions, Ro'i Lismach al Kabbalasso, it is appropriate for us to accept his tradition. He brings riots, it also, because the Gemara harps on the Gishushai and the Prumai, and that's found the Yushalmi also, that as long as you place it in a secure location, he says, Yushalmi's language is, a lashon we shall return to later, Im Nasan B'Makum Shinnad, Litin Eshalo, if you put it in a secure location, secure is defined as wherever you put yours, then Imroy Lashmira Potter, if it's considered objectively secure too, not just that you're reckless, then you're Potter. And you don't need Dr. Karka. There's a general rule, any place which is secure in a given context is fine. The Mordechai cites Rabbeinu Aviha Ezri, the Rav Yah, Hakol Tali Lefi Minhag HaMakom. Everything depends on the Minhag. After, even though Shmuel said Kaka, it really depends on the Minhag. And he also brings the Gemara, Tuchai, and as long as you put it in a place where it is Shomur from Eish and Ganavim, from fire and theft, Kipa Shetach LaKaka, some kind of stone secure building, under the ground, some kind of subterranean vault, Oshal Gavi HaKaka, even above the ground, Potter. Because what we see from the Gemara, he brings a later part of that same Gemara to Mafkid, later on Dapman Beis, the only concerns are Eishu Ganavim, and if you can take care of that, you are fine. So from this ruling of Rabbi Aviha Ezri, Poskim are actually Medayik opposite things. Some Poskim want to be Medayik, Akolofi Aminik HaMakim, and you can put it above ground too. Mashma he understood, like Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona, not like the Rambam, that even above ground is fine, Akolofi HaMakim. On the other hand, other Poskim are Medayik, that he specifically insists on a fairly objective standard that it has to be secure from Eishu Ganavim. He doesn't just say, just do whatever is customary at that time. He gives specific examples. Other Poskim are Medayik that there might be another way of doing it other than Karka, but there is no general rule that whatever is considered secure in your time, it has to meet objective standards of security as set forth by the Gemara. So this is one approach, one reason why the halacha may not apply to Zman HaZeh, because the Poskim say, before the Rav Yah, the other Poskim, Yehuda Barcelona, the Rosh, the Rambam, the Ran, Mukiyasi, if they all say that the Gemara's din of Karka was specific to that time where certain types of thieves, the Gishushai, Prumai, and Tfuchai, who would rap and tap and bang and look for hollows, when they were around, when those people were around, the only secure place was Takas HaKarka. But when the Ganavim don't have those habits, when Ganavim were less common, then there is no need to bury the Kasef under the ground. Even though one could argue, the Gemara seems to indicate when those thieves were around, under the Karka became less secure because they found things under the ground. Nevertheless, these Rishonim seem to assume that these thieves themselves were the reasons why we couldn't just put it in a chest or a vault above ground. But today, where those thieves weren't, that wasn't the standard style of housebreaking anyway, apparently, there's no need to bury the Kasef under the ground. A second Svara appears in the Mordechai. The Mordechai says, Kasef B'Sefer HaChachma, the Book of Wisdom, whatever that is. Also, he says, Kei Matzasi B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, a ruling in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Another reason why the Gemara does not apply in our context, Shmaitin Mari Daftal Didhu Shayulam Batim Ruos Besadas. They had weak or flimsier houses and they were out in remote areas like in the fields, so they were more accessible to thieves. Lididon Ha'idna Ain Sachmir Bakarka. Our houses, our domiciles are more secure. So instead of focusing on the Ganavim, whether they were more aggressive or more skilled or less active, he focuses on the security, the defensive measures, rather than the offensive measures of the thieves. He focuses on our defensive measures. Our houses are urban, they're in more secure areas. The Ganavim, so not because the Ganavim are less effective, but because the houses are stronger. That is a second reason why the Gemara's ruling may not apply Bizman HaZeh. A third Svara is proposed, the Trumas HaDeshen mentions this Svara, he's Medayik from Magos HaShri. The Beis Yosef says something very similar, is that independent of the objective reality of how dangerous Kneva is, how effective the Ganavim are, how effective our houses and other defensive measures are, irrespective of all that, there's a different issue. Shmira depends on the expectations of the owner, of the Mafkid, insofar as the custom is not to guard a certain type of property in a certain way, the custom is a different standard, that's the expectation, that's what both parties assume, and there is no need to implement any sort of shmira which is not envisioned by the two parties themselves. Trum Sedeshin brings Agos HaShri B'Shem HaRiach that he says that today we don't do it, and the Trum Sedeshin explains, Nir Dirotz Elamar, even the Adeya HaMafkid, the Mafkid understands Shana Nifkad Ragel Ishmer Shumdav or Klal, Kiyam Be'inyan Zef. The Mafkid knows the Nifkad has absolutely no intention of taking a shovel and sticking the Kasef under the ground. Mekar Adatta Daka Mafkid. That limits his expectations. He has no expectation of burial, and therefore that itself is a sufficient reason, independent of the objective security of such a procedure, or putting it in a safe. The Agos HaShri, as understood by the Trumas HaDeshen, says there's no need to guard anything in a way more secure than envisioned by the Mafkid. If he doesn't think you're going to do that, you indeed don't have to do that. Beis Yosef says the same thing, that independent of whether one accepts the ruling of Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona today, he says, everyone's going to agree that Ein Ksafim Tzrichin Shmira B'Karka, Hadavar yadua, he says, everyone knows she'ein derech b'nei adam achshav lishmor k'safim b'karka. Nobody buries k'safim in the ground, he says. But kol mafkid al dashi yishmor k'derech from adam regilin lishmor b'osim z'man who mafkid. Anyone who entrusts property to somebody else does so advised by the custom of how people typically guard valuables. Since he knows, everyone knows, no one's going to do that, he has no expectation of him doing that, and therefore he does not have to do that. So these are the three svaras. The svara of Yehuda of Barcelona, that the Ganavim have different habits today. The svara of Rabbeinu Tam and the Mordechai, the Sefer HaChachma, that the houses are stronger today, so we don't need to bury things. And the svara of the Hagos Ashri and the Beit Yosef, that regardless of the objective security of any given measure of Shmira, there's no need to do that which the Mafkid has no Havamina, doesn't imagine that you will be doing. As to the first two svaras, whether they apply Bizman HaZeh or not, so even though the Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona, the Rush, the Raman, the Ran, many Rishonim do accept it, but some don't. As we mentioned earlier, the Rav Yoh, some argue, didn't hold like this, because even though he says Kafi Aminah, he does say that you have to meet certain objective standards, either keep a tachna kaka or keep on above the kaka, but he doesn't seem to have quite as broad a rule as the Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona that anything Kafi Aminah. More acutely, the Rambam. A number of Achronim Medayik from the Rambam that he himself does not accept the Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona's ruling, because he brings all the halachas of the Gemara, even extends it according to the Mevinim to other types of small, valuable things. Nowhere does he indicate that this is a time and depends on the context of the society. He just brings the halacha down, and similarly, as we mentioned earlier, the Arzarua and the Smag. And indeed, the Marik already made this point. The Marik addressed a Shoel who said, based on the Mordechai, the Bizman HaZeh, we have better houses, we don't need the second Sfar, we don't need to bury things. The Marik says, briefly, Afshin Nirish Yeshmi HaPoskim Dlo Tvira Lehachi, it seems that there are Poskim who reject this distinction, Midlo Chilku Lamer Dvizman Yeshlam Shmira, because they didn't make any such distinction, Mashmir Tvira Lehu Afilu Bizman HaZeh, Hadin Noikin, that they reject the distinction, and they say even Bizman HaZeh, the same rules still apply. Similarly, the Trumas HaDeshen brings the Rambam, the Smag, the Arzarua. He says they bring Kol Eilu Adinim of the Gemara, Mamashkin and Nimtu B'Talmud, exactly as they're found in the Gemara, Lo Chilku Klum. They make no such distinction, Bein Shai Aminig Ashmir B'Yemein, Bein Ha'idna, anything would be at all different today. And more than that, he says, they say that even if you put it in a secure location, even if you put it in the Makam Shinoag Lishmer Ashalo, this is a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi's Lashon is Yushalmi's language is that nothing l'akum shenoyg lichin shelo. A person places the valuables on which he is a shomer in the place where he is accustomed to place his own. Im ha'yaroy l'shmira pater, im lo chayev. It makes no difference that you put them in a place that you keep your own. That's your standard. We don't care about your standard. It has to meet Chazal's standard, not your standard. So the Trumas HaDeshen cites this language of the poskim who bring this Yushalmi, and he brings the Rav Yoh himself who brings this. So even though the Rav Yoh says it is totally on the minhag, he says, but so maybe he says Rav Yoh also accepts Yehuda of Barcelona that there is latitude based on a minhag, based on what people consider secure, that you don't have to meet the exact standards of Chazal. So he goes back and forth. He says the Rambam, the Arzarua, and the Smag seem to say the Gemara's dinim do apply. The Rav Yoh says it is totally on the minhag as long as you meet objectively secure standards. And then he brings the Gaza Shri that since the Mafkin knows you aren't going to do that, you don't have to do it. The Beis Yosef brings the Rambam. As Medayik, the Rambam seems to disagree with the Yehuda of Barcelona and assume that the Gemara's rules are relevant. And he says that's why the Magmishan didn't bring the Yehuda of Barcelona, because it's not Muskam. And then he says, Mikol Makam, as we mentioned earlier, today he says even the Rambam would agree, because the third svara, the fact that the Mafkin has no expectation that the Nifkat is going to be burying his valuables. So it seems from the Beis Yosef that on the one hand, to distinguish as the Yehuda of Barcelona or the Mordechai do, that today the conditions have changed, the houses are stronger, the Ganavim are less effective, that he seemed to feel the Rambam indicated that he does not hold up, because that he should have mentioned. But the fact that the expectations today are different, that for some reason he didn't seem to think that the Rambam should have bothered to acknowledge. I don't fully understand why. He seems to have assumed that the objective conditions being different is something he should have acknowledged. But simply a subjective thing that people expect different standards of Shmira, that he seems to assume that the Rambam had no need to mention as a reason, even though the halacha l'maisa is different, and indeed the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch does bring the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona doesn't acknowledge that the Rambam disagrees. Rashtam, Shmuel Di Medina, has various tshuvas discussing the Rav Yehuda Barcelona, whether it is accepted or not. And he, as well as the consensus of other poskim, seems to be that most Rishonim do accept it, although a number of the early Sephardic Achronim did seem to assume that the Rambam, and perhaps the Arzuru on the Smag, did not accept it. Nevertheless, the Lahalacha, they seem to say that the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda Barcelona. So, for example, the Rashtam has several tshuvas on this, and one of the tshuvas he says, Kabbalah Zu, or Rav Yehuda Barcelona, which he cites as a tradition, Nirushi Mukubelas Lakol, it seems that it is more or less unanimous. The Afal Pish, Medivra Rambam, Einar Nirakain, the Rambam seems to disagree, Mikal Makom, Ein Lahaniach, Vade, Dekuli Alma, something which was taken for granted by everyone else, which will suffic a Rambam, we're not going to allow the Rambam's uncertainty to affect the consensus of the other poskim. Brings the Mardechai also. And he concludes, Mikal Hani Shaminan, from various Rayas, Dine Shomrim, the rule is, Lav Mili Psikton, and who? These aren't absolute, hard and fast rules. El Islam Lafuki Layulay, could be Amid Daita. We have to expand or diminish the standard based on people's assumptions. The Ashmatin Lameimar, Shakalam Akib is Manazeh. Anyone who entrusts valuables in his time, in the late 16th century, in Turkey, in the Balkans, Eina Makra Daita Shanifkad Yatza Choma Gvah Briachud Lasayim. He certainly, this is really the third far, the Beis Yosef far, that we're interested in what the Mafkid's expectations are. He has no intention, he says, that the Nifkad is going to build a high wall with bars and other types of security measures, Lishmar Pagdanut. Fayyad Hashain Loshmir Acharet. He knows perfectly well that he has no other means of securing the object, El Babayas, Shu Dartok, he's going to put it in his house. With a key. Everyone certainly expects that level of Shmira and nothing more. The Marchash, Rav Chaim Shapsi, in his Taras Chaim, around the same time as Marashtam, has a long tshuva also where he mentions Rav Yehuda of Barcelona, mentions the fact that the Rambam, the Smag, and Arzarua seem to disagree. He mentions the Beis Yosef, who tried to argue that even the Rambam agrees because of the third far that the Mafkid doesn't expect anything more. But then he says, Li Hatzar, he respectfully disagrees. He says, because both the Marik and the Trumas Hadeshin, as we mentioned earlier, both of them say that the Rambam and the Smag and the Arzurur reject the Chiluk of the other Poskim. He says, V'dalchik lomar, shenishtana hadar v'mizman Trumas Hadeshin Marik was manenu. Marik and the Trumas Hadeshin lived in the 15th century. He was living in the end of the 16th, he says. To say it changed again, changed in 100 years is not plausible. Even if it would have, it wouldn't explain that the Rambam would agree to the Smag and the Rambam, the Smag and Arzurua would agree to read the Barcelona. But either way, he says, the Rambam, the Smag and Arzurua, the Beis Yosef is not correct. They would maintain that even if a person who does not bury valuables, even Bizman Azeh, is still going to be Chayev as a Shomer. And he returns to that Raviyah. Trumas Hadeshin seems to suggest that the Raviyah says, Hakol Lefi HaMinhag, he's even the Raviyah, nearly Ktsas Midvarov. As we noted earlier, that Mikolakom Beinan Makom Mishtar Meishim Ganavim, you do have to meet a certain baseline of standards, maybe not exclusively under the ground, but you do have to have some place which is secure from fire and theft. And the Yerushalmi itself, the Yerushalmi that we mentioned earlier, Eminicha B'Makla Ragalitina Shalo Imhu Royal Shmira Potter. You're only Potter if you're Royal Shmira. So he says that you do need some minimum standard. It's not enough to say, I just did whatever everyone else does in our community. That's not enough. You have to satisfy the Beis Din that what you did was objectively secure. Saying simply, this is what everyone does and this is what people expect is not sufficient. So we said it's Machlok Shvi Shonim. The Beis Yosef is wrong. It is, even Bizman Hazeh, Machlok Shvi Shonim, with the Rambam, the Smag, and the Arzurua saying the Shomer is always Chayev, unless he met that demanding standard established by Chazal in the early Poskim. And Lamaisa, he concedes that Rov Poskim, Rov Rishonim, follow the opinion of Rav Yehuda of Barcelona that a Shomer is off the hook once he does what is expected in contemporary times. And certainly says, if the Shomer, as he usually is, his Muchtuk, he would win, because most Rishonim say he's Potter. He's not sure, though, if for some reason the Mafkid, the person who owned the property, is a Muchtuk, he was already Tofes, Muchtuk for some other reason. Could the Nifkad now demand the money back and say, most Rishonim support me, that I did nothing wrong? Or can the Teveh say, well, Kimli, I'm Muchtuk, and I want to say Kimli like the Rambam, that what you did is not sufficient. So he goes back and forth, but at the end of the Tshuva he says, since Ruba de Ruba of the Poskim and Bechlolim de Achronim, meaning the later Rishonim, Damrina Bechama Dukhti Alachki Basrei, since the consensus particularly of the late Rishonim is, Bizman HaZeh, Lekha, Lahad HaShmuel, Shmiras K'safim, Shmuel no longer applies, the opinion of the Rambam, the Arzuruah, who are relatively early, we show notwithstanding, halacha is, kivan shekein, yirav vaday shadinim shimon, that the shomer will be off the hook, even though the Rambam disagrees, mutzi and miad Ruvain, and if Ruvain was tough-faced, we take the money back and we give it to Shimon. And this is indeed the consensus of many of the early poskim, and probably the later poskim too. Mishpat Tzedek or Meir Melamed says, Sha'al ta'od, Mishmiras Ksafim b'karka ha'idna, do we require karka for Ksafim? And he brings all the various Rishonim, and he says, Naftinon ha'idna, ein lower b'din zidon of Mishmiras Ksafim b'karka mekala shekasavnu, because of the opinions of all these Rishonim, the din no longer applies. In the Shaila Mora, the Tshuva of Rav Shapsi Yonah, major Sephardic posek, he actually brings down briefly all three of the Sfaras we've seen, one after another. He says, Ein Lechaivo, the Shomer in his case, we're not going to hold him liable if Peshlo Shomerim Tachla Karka, because he didn't put them under the Karka, and he gives three reasons. First reason, Imi Shum She'en Ganavim Matuyim Ba'osu Ha'ir, Ganavim are not so prevalent, and he gives actually an interesting guideline. He says, Lo Chashav Ganavim Matuyim, the standard of Ganavim are frequent, is only kishadavar tadir umatzi. It has to be a high crime area where crime has to be regular and frequent. Kol she'ena matzi tadir, if it's not common, afilu yerekin shalosh pam b'shana, even if it happens 3 times a year, lo chashav ganav matzuyin. 3 times a year is not called high crime. Obviously, this is a very difficult standard to apply. How large is the city? Is 3 times really the upper limit? If it happens 4 times a year or 6 times a year, is that called high crime? What kind of crime are we talking about? Regarding stealing valuables. But anyway, that's the rule. That's the Rashita for Yehuda of Barcelona. If we don't have Ganav Matuyim, the Dinim of the Gemara do not apply. The Od, Svara number 2, you have Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam, he says, certainly agrees that in the time of the Gemara, Ganavim were Shchiach, meaning Rabbeinu Tam is not simply a rephrasing of Yehuda of Barcelona. Yehuda of Barcelona says that you don't need Shmira under the Kaka because there aren't so many Ganavim. But if there are, he would agree. Says the Shaila Mara, Rabbeinu Tam Svara would apply even if there were lots of Ganavim. Because Rabbeinu Tam, he says, surely agrees that at the time of the Gemara there were lots of Ganavim, like Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona holds. And even so, he said the only reason the Gemara required Shmira Tachza Karka is only because their houses were Ru'os, they were flimsy in the Sada, in remote areas. But he says, we have better houses. There is no problem. Even though there are lots of Ganavim, even if crime would be high, Rabbeinu Tam Svara would still be a reason why the Shomer would be off the hook. Third Sfara, he brings the Sfara of the Hagoyt HaShri and the Beit Yosef. Hakol l'fi ha-minag. Lav is man l'chud talya milsa. It's not simply dependent on the time. L'fi ha-minag. U'minag osa ha'er. The minag of the city in which the Shiloh was asked from, they simply put valuables in chanuyos, in stores, and offices, below Shmir b'karka. The custom certainly was not to bury things underground. In Cain, l'pasha shimon b'zeh. Then he did nothing wrong by simply following the minhag, and he notes that the Beis Yosef already said that the Rambam would concede, even if he doesn't agree with the Yehuda of Barcelona, the Rambam would agree with Manazeh because of the minhag. The Sefer Kunas Olam, another later Sephardic posek, also brings a number of the early Achronim. He brings the Marival, the Marshach, the Marashtam in many places, the Meir Melamed, the Mishpat Tzedek, Maras Hasson, the Taras Emes. They all agree, and Kama other posek, he says, they all agree, Halacha L'maisa, they take for granted. They follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of Barcelona, and not just Lahachsik, even Lahotzi, as he mentioned in Marashtam, and we saw that in the Marchash. They all say that the halacha clearly is that the standard of Shmira is relaxed as Manazeh, and there is no need to bury things under the karka. And again, he reiterates the Svara is, kind of mixes the Svaras together, but the Svara he seems to like to emphasize is, Vizmanenu Hayom, today, Kol Ha'am Mikatze, anyone, any member of the community can tell us, Ya'idun, Yagidun, can testify, can inform us. People don't bury valuables. The Ain Ish Ish, Samalev, Shmirazu. Nobody, doesn't occur to anybody to bury valuables. The MK, Mitamze, Yesh Lufta Leruvim, Mitviasek Safim. This is the reason for pattering the defendant, because nobody had any idea that he was expected to bury it. Afilum Hayuganav Mitsuyim, even if we don't have Yehuda Barcelona's original Svara that the Ganavim are not frequent today. Chayotid Akalafi Aminak. Everything follows the custom, everything follows what one is expected to do, and since the minhag of the air is not to bury things under the ground, and he mentions the Svara of the Marash Yonah. He mentions the Marash Yonah's other Svara, that even if there would be Ganavim, since our houses are better, that would also be a reason to potter. That Svara he's not thrilled about. After the Docha Getzli, he says, and he himself, maybe he only said it as a sniff, but because of the other Svara of minhag, that seems to be his primary reason for letting the defendant off the hook. And this, I'm pretty sure, this is the consensus among later poskim too, that certainly if someone gives you money or diamonds to watch, you are not actually expected to go out to your backyard, dig a hole, and bury the valuables. Pitzachoshen or Blau takes this for granted too. Bismanenu vaday ein derech lishmer b'karka. What should you do? He adds an interesting suggestion. He says, kivan shederech b'nei adam lahafkik tzafim b'bank. People store cash with banks. Some people don't. Some people put it under their mattress. Some people don't trust banks, especially if you live in Cyprus, or so obviously it depends where in the world you are. But certainly, I guess, in a first world country, the normal attitude is to trust the banks. Efshar shechazid in shmir lahafkik b'bank. He's not sure, perhaps. The standard of shmir is to deposit the money in a bank. He says, v'nirash ein tzarech liftach cheshbon miyuchad. It appears to him that you don't need to open a specific bank account just for his money. Yachal lahafkid b'cheshbon shalo. You can deposit the money in your own account. Other valuable items, which the Rambam put in the same category as ksafim, you have to be shomer them, k'derach shashar b'nirachim shomer shalahem, the way people typically watch their valuables. V'nirah, he says, she'ein tzarech liftach kasefet lahanicham sham. You don't have to rent a safe, rent an extra secure location, but you do have to put it in a secure place. And even, he says, even if you put your own simply in an open drawer, ain't a potter because you do need something more secure than a mere open, accessible drawer, but you don't need a safe. So this actually makes us wonder. Throughout Hilchos Shomrim, as far as I am aware, we never really find a distinction between the quantity of the valuables. The Rambam distinguishes between large and heavy and less valuable objects, four different madregas, pishton, smalos, talis, meshi, kesef, lashonos, but within each one, he just tells you what the rule is. And it would seem, the way Reb Blau says that perhaps you have to put it in the bank, it would seem, though, that depends on how much money we're talking about. If someone gives you $10,000 in cash, it makes a lot of sense that you shouldn't just leave that in your house. You just put it in a bank. If someone gives you $10, I think people frequently leave $10 in drawers or envelopes. He says you can't just leave it in a drawer. People certainly leave small amounts of money in a drawer. So it would seem to me that perhaps it would actually depend on how much money we were talking about. Although, again, as I said, this is something of a chiddush, as far as I know, this is unprecedented in Hilchos Shomrim, that the standard should depend not just on the type of object, but on the quantity, on the magnitude or the value of the object. Another issue the poskim raise in the context of Shmira B'Karka and Shmira in general is we've already seen some Rishonim said that if the minhag is not to do a certain kind of Shmira, there's no expectation of it, and it need not be done. That was the third of the three svaras for why Shmira Ksafim may not be de rigueur bizman hazeh. Many poskim deal with this in the context of a specific mafkid who doesn't expect it. If the mafkid, the most basic din, several Rishonim say that if the mafkid specifically says that you don't have to do this, I accept that you will not do this, that's fine. Dar Zeruah says, Avlam Hisna Imo Menashe Yishmer Kemoshel Atmo. The mafkid tells you, I don't need the standard set forth by the poskim. Just put it wherever you put yours. Take care of it like you take care of your own. Then fine, even though normally you can't do that. Normally, the rule to which we shall return is there is no rule that just because you put yours somewhere, you can put his in the same place. But if you explicitly stipulated that, then that is fine. Torah says the same thing. Any type of object, you're not going to do karka, you're not going to do whatever standard the shmir is. Hakolofi tno, everything follows your tonight. The Mardukhai brings the same thing from the Rav Yad, Aviha Ezri. He says, Imlo, Yomar Beferush, normally the standards are high and you have to put them in secure locations. Imlo, Yomar Beferush, but tonight, Lamaskin, Arani Nosnum Shali. Unless you explicitly stipulate, then it is fine, then the standards do not bind you to put it by whatever Chazal felt was secure. The Bach on the tour, the Bach explains this is Pashut, and the reason is, Tolt Nashim Amon Kayim. The Bach understands that this is the general rule of Nashim Amon Kayim, that when it comes to Chazal Mishpah, when it comes to people's own property, they can stipulate whatever they want. And a number of the early Achronim extend this one step further. A number of the great, important early Sephardic Achronim say that this is true even if there is no explicit, express stipulation by the Mafkid. Even if the Mafkid simply is aware that that's what you are doing or that's what you plan to do, even that's enough. Even if he didn't articulate explicitly say that he accepts that. The Divrei Rivas says that Pikadin Hasheni, a certain Pikadin that he was asked about, Hayanir Lefum Riata, this is Rav Yitzchak HaDarbi, the author of the Divrei Rivas, he says, Adinim Rav Chaim HaNitva, the Nitva, the Shomer, is off the hook for two reasons. One of them is that he says that Rav Yaakov, who was the Mafkid, Rav Yaakov Atmo, some Hamot, Betocha Harel, the Harel was some kind of container, some kind of location, he himself put them in this container. Im Kainir, the Tzar of a Kabbal. If the Mafkid himself located them there, that means he accepts this level of Shmira. Kamoshok, Bahavalai Kamisha Hisna Imo. Since he did it, and he saw it, and he clearly accepted it, that's as if he was Masna, even though he wasn't explicitly Masna, and he mentions the Rav Yah that we've just said. Marshach also, contemporary, Rav Shlomo Cohen, another one of the great Sephardic poskim in Turkey from that time. He was talking about someone who had a mashkon. A woman, Rachel, had a mashkon, and the fellow paid most of the money and asked for the security back, and she said, you owe me one grush, one more coin, I'm holding on to the mashkon until you bring the last coin. And she said, don't worry, your mashkon is secure. She showed him, Tashuv, Tera Mashkoncha, see here, your mashkon is secure, Arucha Bakol, Ushmura, I have it carefully stored away, it's secure, the Mokhlamo is mamish, with the rest of your caches, it's all in a secure location, just bring the last grush and take the mashkon. And then something happened to the mashkon. He says, she's off the hook. Havikiilu harasala makamashmira, even if we objectively decide that the place in which she was storing it was not really secure, but she, it's as if she showed it to him, because she told him where it was, and he said, and he tacitly accepted it. And he brings a Torah who says that if you're mashna explicitly, hakolafitno, and he assumes that this is the same thing. Sefer Kunas Olam again says the same thing. In his case too, he says that since the mafkid saw, understood where the object was going to be kept, then he has tacitly accepted that level of shmira. And he brings the Rishonim, the Torah, who said that if the nifkad, if they were mashna, if they explicitly stipulated, it's fine. And he actually acknowledges that one could distinguish. Lekel Meimar, he says, that maybe that's only an explicit hashna, but if not, even if he saw and was shasak, he's chayev. Halesa, he says, and he brings a raya from a marashtam, and he brings a marashach, that as long as the mafkid saw, that's a tacit acceptance, same din as an explicit acceptance. Marashach actually finds to be a chiddush, he says, because the mafkid didn't actually see, he says, in the case of marashach, where it was. Adrabah, she told him it's secure. Maybe he just trusted her. Afal Bikain, he says, the fact that the mafkid took her word and accepted, obviously if she didn't tell him where it was, if she misrepresented it, that presumably everyone would agree that that's not good. But so I don't know exactly what the Marshach's case was. She told him where it was, she didn't tell him where it was, but certainly if he knew where it was, or if she kept it in a place where he knew or was expected to know where it was, that constitutes a tacit acceptance of the Shmira. Pitzchei Tshuva, moving now to the Ashkenazim. Pitzchei Tshuva applies the Marshach to his case. He's referring to a Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, where he talked about a case where somebody was keeping valuables in a pocket attached to his pants. He says, Hinicho b'kis atofer b'batei shakayim, socks or stockings, and they were lost. And the Chassam Sofer says, that might be a pshia, that's not really such a good place to keep them. Kein pshia shederech litzra mo'ez b'kis atofer b'begin shalachaza. A really secure place for valuables is on a pouch hung on the chest, not on the legs, which I guess are farther from your eyes, you don't see them as much, they're less secure. So the Pitzchei Tshuva objects, he says, why is that Pshia? He says, it seems from the simple reading of the case of the Chassam Sofer that the owners of the property saw where he put them. He put them into his stocking pouch in the presence of the owners. Im Kain, he says, you have this far of the Marshach, that the owners accepted. He says, Tarach Lamar, he says, you have to make a new Kimta, that indeed, that's not the case, that when he put them into the stocking pouch, that was not in the presence of the owners, but if it would be, Taka be Potter. And the same Svara, returning to the Svaradim, the same Svara appears in the Dvar Moshe, Tshuva Dvar Moshe Amarillo, not sure how it's pronounced. He talks about a case, somebody was riding a horse, was about to leave, someone came running up and said, please take this on your trip with you and give it to someone where you're going. Told him, I'm sorry, already packed up the EVs, Aleph Yud Beis Yud, they sound like they were saddlebags or some kind of baggage compartment on a horse. Everything is all tied up, and I can't put them in the proper place right now. So he said, please, come on, don't worry, just take it and put it wherever you keep your stuff. So he put it in his pocket, in his cheiko, with the rest of his tabas, his ring, his other, and some of his money. Now, eventually, they got lost. They were stolen, not clear what happened to them. And this time, the owner understood that he didn't have the chutzpah to say you should have put them right away in the bag. He told him the bags are closed up and I can't put them there. His taina was that they got lost at least possibly several days later, and he says, I understand that day your saddlebags are already tied up. When you got to the inn, he says, when you unpacked, you should have put them in the saddlebag. Reuven said, you're right, but I forgot. I don't know if he said, you're right, he said, I forgot. So the first half of the shuvah, he deals with the famous question, which is beyond the scope of this lecture, whether shikcha, forgetting to do something, is a shogig or an onus. Then he says, independent of that, even if that wouldn't be his taina, even if he wouldn't have forgotten, he says, the same svara applies. Since when he gave him the pikadon, he knew it wasn't going into the saddlebag, into the evish, whatever those are, he says, and he saw he was putting it into his pocket, and he says he didn't say, please take it out later when you get to the inn and put it in the saddlebag. That itself constitutes a tacit acceptance of the shmirah. And again, he brings the marshtam, he brings this idea from the earlier poskim. This would seem to be actually a major chiddush because of course he was putting it into his pocket, but he knew that was because he couldn't do any other way. You could argue that where do we see from his instructions that he meant you can leave it there permanently? Apparently, the Dvar Moshe understood, since he knew it was going there today, and he didn't give him explicit instructions to take it out tomorrow and take it somewhere else, that itself constitutes tacit acceptance of the idea that this is going to be the permanent storage place for these valuables for the duration of the trip. Now, we've seen several times, one last subtopic here, we've seen several times the rule of the Yerushalmi that b'shalohu rashoi v'lo b'shal chaveru. Even if a person has a certain standard that he deems sufficient to safeguard his own property, that doesn't mean that he has the right to do that to the property of someone else. Nothing makom shano yulitin eshalo. He places the valuables on which he is a shomer in the place he keeps his own. It still has to be objectively secure. The fact that he himself keeps his valuables there is not a defense. The Rambam rules this way too. If the items are secure, are stored in an insecure location, you're chayev. Even if he stores it with his own property, too bad. It still has to be objectively secure. And the rule is, b'shalohu rashoi, v'ena rashoi, b'shal acherim. Shulchan Aruch codifies this, essentially verbatim, and this is accepted by virtually all the poskim of which I am aware. There is, however, a very interesting machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Askafa and the Rosh Yosef, and apparently the Har HaKarmel in the Har HaKarmel. The Rosh Yosef's case was, someone stored clothing, for which he was a shomer, in a box, in a chest. Now, the poskim say this is not considered a secure location, at least some poskim, because the mice or the rats get into it and they chew them up. The halacha is, stam tevos chasurotein etzalach barim. You have to hang them in the air, or you have to put water, because once the rats find water to drink, they don't chew up the clothing. But you have to do various means to safeguard them from rats. So he says, lachari bichayev, a guy who kept the clothing in regular boxes and they got eaten by rats, he bichayev. He says, no. He says, you're potter. Why? Because up till now we've been discussing an explicit stipulation where the mafka said you don't have to do this, or he saw where you were putting it, so he accepted that you're putting it there. Rosh Yosef has a new svar. He says that the nifkar could say, I saw when you gave me those clothes, they were in a box. I saw you take them from your box and give them to me. Or give me the whole box that you stored them. And he says, so therefore, he says, you yourself, you don't care. That's where you keep your own clothes, he says. Amarti believes. I said to myself, if that's what you want, if that's what you deem a sufficient shmira, that's a, I did exactly what you did. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. On the contrary, he says, my box is a better box than your box. My box is better than your box. So your potter, what's the source for this? Again, we're not talking about a case where the owner saw that the nifkat put it into a box, so we tacitly accepted. We're talking about a case where all the nifkat knew was, that's when you kept it when it was in your possession. So I can do the same thing. What's the makar for that? So he brings a famous din in Hilchos Shomrim, that shomer shmasa l'shomer normally is a problem. For one shomer to entrust it to the care of another who hasn't been authorized by the owner is a problem. It can be considered a pshia. However, if he gave it to someone to regular hafkid etzlo, that the mafkid was in the habit, was accustomed to entrust it to him, then you're potter. Why? Because I could say, if he's good enough for you, he's good enough for me. If you trust him, I could trust him too. Says Rav Yosef Askafa, so the same way regarding giving it to another person, The Shomer can say, if you trust him, I can trust him too. Same thing with regard to boxes. If you put it in a box, I can put it in a box. I don't have to do more than you do. The Har HaKarmel seems to have a very different shita. Har HaKarmel was discussing a fascinating case. There was a law that we had in the American Revolution. We had the Stamp Act. They had a Stamp Act of their own. The king said every Jewish person, for every book he has, must have a chosim of the melech, a stamp, a nikra, a stempel, samach tes ayin nun pei lamed. You have to pay the melech for the stamp. It wasn't a formality. You paid a tax, basically, for the stamp. Anyone who didn't pay for these stamps, the sefer is considered hefker. Anyone who finds the sefer can confiscate it and seize it. And you have to pay a knas. So Shimon borrowed a sefer from Reuven to study, Lomod Bo. It didn't have a stamp. Reuven, the owner, had not put a stamp in the sefer. Somehow, a government inspector had entered Shimon's house for some other reason, happened to see the sefer. Oh, look, a sefer without a stamp. Free sefer for me. So he grabbed it and walked off with it. And now Reuven and Shimon went to a din Torah. So he says, the halacha is as follows. A shomer who doesn't put an object in a sufficiently secure location is chayev, even if that is where he keeps his own object, like we saw earlier in the Yushalmi, b'shalohu rashoi v'lo b'shal chaveru. So here too, he says, since the fact that the owner didn't keep his svarim in a secure location is not an excuse for you not keeping it. B'shalohu rashoi, a person can do it to his own property, but not b'shal chaveru. Now this lachara is a pelatuma. It seems to be, it's hard to say this about a gun like the Har HaKarmel, it seems to be an utter mistake. B'shalohu rashoi v'lo b'shal chaveru is used by all the poskim to mean that if the shomer keeps his own property in an insecure location, that doesn't give him the right to do that to the owner's property. But if the owner keeps his property in an insecure location, that's like the Rosh Yosef said, the poskim don't talk about that. The Rosh Yosef said that's fine. And even if the Har HaKarmel disagrees with the Rosh Yosef, where did he see in the poskim that b'shalohu rashoi v'lo b'shal chaveru means connected to Rosh Yosef? Where did he see? He took for such a davar pashut that even if the owner does it, the shomer can't do it. Where did he get that from? Ad kidei kach, he thought this rule was so solid that he actually asked the kasha from the din of ragel hafkadat flow. The Rosh Yosef wrote a raya that you see that if the owner does something, you can do it too because of the din of ragel hafkadat flow. The Har HaKarmel starts by saying the rule of b'shalohu rashoi v'lo b'shal chaveru. Somehow he understood that to mean that that's not the case. So how do I reconcile that with the rule the Rosh Yosef brought a raya from, that you're allowed to give it to someone who's trusted by the owner? So he says, that's different. The reason you're allowed to give it to someone who's trusted by the owner is not because since he's being reckless, you can be reckless too. On the contrary, the svara is, since it's clear that he is willing to give it to him, people are not crazy. People are not mafkir their money. It must be he knows him and he trusts him. He knows that he's trustworthy. That's the argument. The argument is, if you know he's trustworthy, I'm relying on your assessment, on your appraisal of his honesty. But if you do something which is objectively reckless, which clearly you don't know anything that I don't know, you're just willing to be reckless, that, the Har HaKarmel says, seemingly not like the Rosh Yosef, that is not an excuse, and the shomer can be held to a higher standard, even if the owner himself is willing to be reckless. He says that does not give the shomer the right to do that, while the Rosh Yosef seems to say that it does. I've never actually found anyone else who discusses this point or who acknowledges that this is a machlokas, but they do seem to be taking contradictory positions, and they, as we said, the Rosh Yosef brings a raya from the din of regular half cadet flow, and the Har HaKarmel acknowledges the raya, but is madchit, so it seems to be a machlokas. One last source on this topic of b'shalohu rashoi v'lo b'shal chaveru appears in a fascinating tshuva, not actually in the context of shomrim at all, a fascinating tshuva of the Me'il Tzedakah, of Yonah Landsofer. He was talking about a case of several idealistic families wanted to make aliyah from somewhere in Europe to Eretz Yisrael. The fathers and mothers, the husbands and wives were all on board, but there were young kids involved. So the local Beis Din objected. They said, you want to risk your own life on a dangerous, fraught journey to Eretz Yisrael? Fine. But Beis Din Avim Shel Yisam, we have to look out for the kids. You can't take the kids. So the Me'il Tzedakah basically argues, first, he establishes that a sea voyage is no more dangerous for children than for adults. He says, what are you worried about? If you're worried about shipwreck or pirates, everyone's going to die. Everyone's in equal danger. The kid's not in more danger. He said, you're worried about just the tiltul aderech, the seasickness, the rocking around on the ships? On the contrary, he says, kids are more resilient. Kids are more flexible. They're younger. So the kids, he says, are in no more danger than the adults. That being the case, he says, they are certainly allowed to take their kids. Since, he says, we establish an ein sakana pratis l'ktanim yoshim l'gdolim, You're allowed to take them. He says, Ein Lomar, maybe you'll object that since it's a chov for them and they can't give their consent, he says, Ein Chov Lamela Bifneim, maybe you can't do that. He says, no, the rule is, Rashon Lasas Kain, why? And here he rather oddly quotes a rule almost exactly the opposite of the rule we've been discussing until now. He says, Adam Rashai Las Bishal Chaver Kamo Bishalo. A person is allowed to do with regard to somebody else whatever he does with regard to himself. This is a defense for a shomer, he says, or for a partner. As long as he can say he did what he does to his own property, that lets him off the hook. Avedas Guf is like Avedas Mammon, he says. And he says, there, it's a Kolshkin, he says, there, Adam Rashai Lachbol B'Shalom. A person is allowed to destroy his own property. It's Baltashkis, you're not really allowed to, but at least if you have a reason, you're allowed to. Hacha Asher Labrit Asmo, there's a specific Isser of Chovel Batzmo, or of killing yourself, he says. Certainly, he says, Kol Shem Mutter Lachbol B'Shalom, Hachinai Banav Akhtanim, V'chadam Achtam Achtinu. And therefore, he says, it is fine, you're allowed to take the kids. He goes on, actually, incidentally, and says that the one caveat, the one major exception, he says, if you don't have a parnasi, he says, that's a big problem, because Anias is Mavaradami Das Kono, the adults are going willingly, so they'll put up with it. He says, the kids are not willing to accept it, they're not doing this of their own volition. This is something which is a concern today, too. Can be a concern, people going to Eretz won't have a parnasa. This is a real issue. Other things that could affect the kids, obviously. But anyway, with regard to our idea, Emil Tzedakah is something of a Pella. He says, whatever a person's allowed to do to his own property, is allowed to do to someone else's, and that's a defense for Shomrim. As we've seen, it would seem to be just the opposite. The Poskim will say, the Yerushalmi says, just because you do it to yourself, you can't do it to the Shomrim. That's not a defense. Yerushalmi's language is, Nasim Makam Shemnosim Noheg Litan and Shalom, Im Hayeroy Lashmira Patri Lachayim. It has to be Roy Lashmira. So presumably, the Mil Tzedakah held, in his case, that what they were doing, the travel they were doing, was something that was secure, equivalent to Shmira. It would be like a good shmira, and here it was not considered endangering their own lives. So that's what he meant. Since it's objectively a good, objectively a reasonable thing to do with yourself, if it meets your own objective, the objective standards for a person himself, then it would be good for the kids too. But again, even then, the defense is not really, since I do it for myself, I do it for them. The defense is that it meets objective standards of safety and reasonableness. So what is this claim that anything a person does for himself, he can do for someone else? He claims that the makar of the svaras and shamrim, that's still something of a Pella. As we've seen, the general thrust of all of Hilchos Shomrim is, simply because you do it for yourself is not a defense. If the owner does it for himself, that might be a defense. That's the sheet of the Rosh Yosef as opposed to the Har Carmel. But just because you're willing to do something to yourself, that is certainly not a justification for doing it to someone else, as we have seen.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halachic Services or Consultations, or to present a Shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. Or email info@thehalachacenter.org.